This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 and you're with Lynn on Popit Popit Parliament, where we bring you highlights from the day one right yet. So today's session kicked off with a question for Finance Minister Dato' Sri Tengku Zafrul Aziz. Baling MP Dato' Sri Abdul Aziz bin Abdul Rahim wanted to know whether banks have the authority to freeze bank accounts before investigations are made into suspicious transactions. So the minister confirmed that banks do indeed have that power. He also detailed the types of freezes that could happen, along with what steps could be taken before an account is closed altogether.
Sekiranya transaksi-transaksi sesebuah akaun menimbulkan kecurigaan, pihak bank boleh mengenakan sekatan sementara ke atas akaun tersebut bagi membolehkan penilaian secara menyeluruh dapat dilaksanakan. Di samping memastikan wang daripada aktiviti penipuan ataupun aktiviti-aktiviti jenayah lain tidak dikeluarkan daripada akaun tersebut. Antara bentuk sekatan yang boleh dikenakan oleh pihak bank adalah seperti menyekat kemudahan perbankan internet, kad debit atau mesin juruwang automatik, selain penutupan akaun setelah pihak bank berpuas hati dengan hasil penilaian mereka. Setelah melaksanakan langkah-langkah tersebut dan menilai tahap risiko yang sewajarnya, pihak bank boleh tertakluk kepada perintah sekatan yang dikeluarkan oleh pihak berkuasa, mengambil keputusan untuk meneruskan transaksi atau urusan perniagaan dengan pemegang akaun tersebut atau berdasarkan faktor-faktor tertentu, memutuskan untuk tidak meneruskan transaksi atau menutup akaun pelanggan. Langkah penutupan akaun hanya diambil setelah pelaksanaan penilaian yang menyeluruh telah dilakukan dan setelah memberi notis dalam tempoh yang munasabah kepada pelanggan.
So at this point, Bagan MP Lim Guan Eng kind of took a shot and asked Zafrul to weigh in on the comments made by Pekan MP Datuk Sri Najib Razak yesterday about the government having not paid, and I quote, a single cent of 1MDB's debts. Dewan Rakyat Speaker Tan Sri Azhar Azizan Harun noted that this had nothing to do with the original question on freezing bank accounts, but he left it open to the minister to answer.
Itu tak ada kena-mengena dengan soalan asal tu, tapi saya serahkan kepada Yang Berhormat Menteri lah.
Terima kasih, Yang Berhormat Bagan. Setakat akhir bulan ini, kalau kita lihat andaian kadar tukaran wang asing sekarang lebih kurang $1 to apa 420 lah ya, RM4.20. Baki komitmen kita setelah saya pun baru saja dipahamkan ialah lebih kurang 38 bilion ringgit lah, ataupun 38.5 ke 38.8 bilion ringgit. Ini prinsipalnya 32 bilion ringgit, 32.3, dan faedahnya pula sebanyak 6.5 bilion ringgit. Jadi dakwaan bahawa belum lagi kita bayar prinsipal hutang 1MDB ini adalah tidak berasas, ya, memandangkan prinsipal hutang-hutang tersebut hanya akan matang lambat lagi. Contohnya prinsipal bond terbitan 1MDB Energy Limited 11 Mei 2022, that's 7.35 bilion ringgit. Bond terbitan 1MDB Energy Langat 2022, 7.35 bilion ringgit. Bond terbitan 1MDB Global Investment sebanyak 12.6 bilion ringgit. Sukuk IMTN terbitan 1MDB 5 bilion ringgit. Jadi 32.3 bilion ringgit ini dia punya tarikh matang antara tahun 2022 hinggalah tahun 2039. Jadi belum lagi lah dibayar. Ini prinsipal, ya. Tapi kita sudah mula membayar faedahnya lah. Faedahnya seperti saya sebut
rapat
tadi.
Terima kasih Yang Berhormat Menteri Kewangan. Walaupun tak ada kena-mengena dengan soalan asal, telah dijawab dengan butir-butir yang amat baik.
That was Finance Minister Datuk Sri Tengku Zafrul Aziz officially stating that Najib's comments were baseless. As a reminder, the comments in question were about the government having not paid a single cent of 1MDB's debts. So this next one is actually about an issue that we've covered before, and that is JKM Pay. For context, JKM Pay is a cashless welfare payment scheme that is supposed to make it easier for recipients to access aid and to help them spend prudently. The scheme at the time was not received well by some stakeholders, including the OKU community, because the new system disburses only 50% cash and the remaining 50% is basically a type of credit that can only be spent at select stores. So Batu Kawan MP Kasturi Pato asked the Women, Family and Community Development Minister Datuk Sri Rina Harun two questions on this. The first, whether OKU stakeholders were consulted prior to the project launching, and secondly, why it has been postponed. It was a pretty tense exchange and the word rintis came up a lot.
Jangan buat tuduhan. Saya dah katakan ini projek rintis.
Jadi seluruh negara ya, hanya beberapa negeri sahaja.
Ya.
Babe duduk, duduk babe. Jangan kita transformasikan MQT jadi perbahasan. Tolong.
Jadi tuan yang dipertua, kita di sini jangan nak politikkan semua perkara. Kita nak buat ini untuk kebaikan rakyat. Kena faham, kita kena tahu juga ada di kalangan mereka yang penerima bantuan ini, kadang-kadang bila cash, duitnya hilang, ada juga digunakan untuk membeli perkara lain. Jadi untuk kita menjaga kebajikan sekurang-kurangnya, pakaian, makanan, minuman, ubatan-ubat mereka ini mesti dibeli. Maksudnya keperluan asas mereka itu harus dijaga sebelum dilaksanakan. Sebab itu kita kata ini masih lagi
projek rintis. Tanpa konsultasi dengan OKU. Mengapa?
Soalan yang berhormat, adakah wujud konsultasi dengan golongan OKU? Soalannya, ini soalan yang saya baca.
Yep.
Jawapannya, kita buat juga konsultasi dengan penerima-penerima yang juga adalah golongan OKU.
Sebelum keputusan dibuat, sebelum...
Babi, tolong. Janganlah. Please.
Sekarang tolong. Ni projek rintis.
Nama Mat, tolong jangan berbahas. Ya? Yeah?
Ni masih ada lagi ruang untuk penambahbaikan. Nama pun projek rintis, belum dijadikan dasar dan polisi lagi.
Sebelum tu patut ada konsultasi dengan OKU.
Jangan bahas. Okey, Yang Amat Menteri, saya rasa Yang Amat Menteri dah tekankan rintis sudah banyak kali sangat.
So that was Women, Family and Community Development Minister Datuk Sri Rina Harun essentially, I think, defending the JKM Pay program and saying that it is a pioneer program. We'd like to hear from you. I mean, now that it's been raised once more in Parliament, what do you make of the fact that within this welfare payment scheme, only 50% is cash, while the remaining 50% is credit to be spent at select stores? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789 98899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, briefly, Bukit Bendera MP Wong Hon Wai challenged claims by the government that the Russia-Ukraine conflict would not have any impact on Malaysia's food security.
Sebelum ni saya terbaca juga kenyataan oleh Timbalan Menteri bahawa perang Russia-Ukraine tidak menjejaskan security makanan. Saya tidak bersetuju dengan kenyataan itu kerana perang Russia-Ukraine ini telah menyebabkan harga minyak mentah Brent crude oil price mencecah US dollar 104 semalam, dan ini akan meningkatkan kos logistik untuk pengimportan bahan-bahan makanan ke Malaysia. Soalan saya, dalam ketika kita mengetahui bahawa Brent crude oil harga logistik dan juga bekalan yang terputusnya rantaian bekalan makanan yang terganggu, apakah usaha kita untuk baru-baru ini harga ayam, harga telur, sayur-sayur telah melambung meninggi? Apakah usaha-usaha serius untuk menstabilkan harga-harga makanan asas untuk rakyat Malaysia ini?
So in response, the second Deputy Minister of Agriculture and Food Industry, Nick Mohamed Zawawi Saleh, said he doesn't anticipate the impact to be large and assured that they will take necessary steps to keep prices and supply stable, which includes looking into cultivating our own supply of chickens and eggs. I'm actually curious, or rather thinking about things like bread, actually, considering the fact that Russia and Ukraine produce such a significant chunk of the world's wheat supply. But we'll see. Now, on to a statement that has received its fair share of ridicule, basically. Rauh MP Tengku Zulpuri Rajapuji wanted the Energy and Natural Resources Ministry's take on the comments that were made recently by Kelantan Forestry Department Director Abdul Kalim Abu Sama, who, in a nutshell, said that logging activities are good for the tiger population. You may remember this making a lot of headlines at the time. Here is Minister Datuk Sri Taqiyuddin Hassan trying to offer some clarification.
Saya ingin menyatakan bahawa saya juga mengkaji perkara ini apabila dikeluarkan kenyataan tersebut. Pengarah Perhutanan Negeri Kelantan sebenarnya dikatakan merujuk kepada satu kajian, satu research yang dibuat oleh pakar WWF mengenai populasi harimau yang selari dengan kenyataan ini, yang mengatakan bahawa salah satu, bukan keseluruhannya, salah satu pembalakan yang dibuat secara tersusun di kawasan hutan pengeluaran boleh menyebabkan pertumbuhan populasi harimau belang ini kerana apabila pokok-pokok ditebang secara tersusun, ianya akan menyebabkan kawasan itu ditumbuhi oleh anak-anak pokok yang membawa kepada wujudnya binatang mangsa seperti kancil, seperti babi hutan dan sebagainya yang menjadi binatang yang dimakan oleh harimau. Jadi atas dasar itu saja pandangan yang dibuat oleh pengarah Perhutanan Kelantan, yang bagaimana bagi pihak perhilitan sebahagiannya kita terima. Teori ini kita terima sebahagiannya sebagai salah satu daripada faktor yang boleh menambah populasi dan juga mengelak kepupusan harimau ini. Sebab sekarang ini harimau tidak mempunyai makanan yang cukup. Jadi dengan ada pembalakan yang seumpama ini, ia salah satu punca boleh membanyakkan spesies ataupun makanan untuk harimau ini. Terima kasih.
So that was Energy and Natural Resources Minister Datuk Sri Taqiyuddin Hassan basically clarifying the statement that had come earlier from the Kelantan Forestry Department that logging activities are good for the tiger population in our country. Next, Sibuti MP Tuan Lukan Isman Awang Sauni brought to attention the case of 9-year-old Jenny Liana Ating, whose mother received a letter informing her that Jenny will not be allowed to continue her education because of her citizenship status. So Jenny was actually born and raised in Sarawak, but since her parents are both Indonesian, she's not recognised as Malaysian. The Sibuti MP urged the Ministry of Home Affairs and Ministry of Education to resolve the issue. And this was echoed by Kulai MP and former Deputy Education Minister Tony Ching, who called for the enforcement of the zero reject policy implemented by Pakatan Harapan, which seeks to guarantee access to education in public schools for undocumented children. Now, after the Q&A ended, Damansara MP Tony Pua submitted a motion for the Dewan Rakyat to refer Najib to the Rights and Privileges Committee, and this was for misleading the Dewan Rakyat while debating the royal address yesterday.
Saya ingin merujuk Ahli Parlimen Pekan kepada Jawatankuasa Hak dan Kebebasan seperti yang diperuntukkan dalam perkara 36 perungan 12 Peraturan-Peraturan Majlis Mesyuarat Dewan Rakyat. Secara spesifiknya, beliau telah mengelurukan Dewan dalam beberapa perkara yang dibangkitkan, termasuk nombor satu, beliau berkata bahawa satu sen pun prinsipal hutang 1MDB tidak pernah dibayar oleh kerajaan. Ini adalah palsu kerana kerajaan telah pun membayar sebanyak 8.8 bilion prinsipal dan faedah semasa beliau menjadi Menteri Kewangan. Keduanya, beliau telah pun menyebut bahawa penjimatan kepada penyelesaian perjanjian berat sebelah IPP peninggalan zaman PM keempat yang diselesaikan dengan bantuan 1MDB dengan mengambil alih IPP ini telah pun menjimatkan sebanyak 50 bilion. Ini adalah palsu langsung sekali kerana 1MDB telah pun mengambil alih IPP dengan harga yang terlampau tinggi yang menyebabkan kerugian berbilion-bilion ringgit. 1MDB rugi, bukan untung 50 bilion. Itu satu figment of his imagination. Ketiga, beliau menyebut bahawa penjimatan ini adalah antara sebab result tunai Petronas naik daripada 30 bilion kepada 176 bilion pada tahun 2018. Result Petronas adalah langsung tidak berkaitan dengan sebarang IPP sama ada diambil alih oleh 1MDB ataupun tidak diambil alih. Result Petronas adalah wang Petronas sendiri, tiada kaitan langsung. So, Yang Berhormat Pekan telah pun menipu Dewan Rakyat ini. So, sebagai mantan Menteri Kewangan, beliau tahu apa dia fakta, tetapi beliau telah pun sengaja mengelirukan Dewan ini, menghina Dewan ini untuk menyelamatkan beliau dia sendiri atas pentas politik. So, kita harap Tuan Speaker akan berikan kebenaran untuk merujuk beliau ke Jawatankuasa Hak dan Kebebasan.
So that was Damansara MP Tony Pua. Deputy Speaker Datuk Rashid Hasnon said that they will look over the motion. Again, a reminder, the motion in question is for the Dewan Rakyat to refer Najib to the Rights and Privileges Committee because of his statements yesterday, which the Finance Minister actually debunked. So that is it for today's Popit Popit Parliament. Let us know if you have thoughts on what was covered in the Dewan today. So there was, for example, the Russian invasion's impact on food security. JKM pay came up and questions over whether enough consultation was done also in relation to that, the rationale for the idea that logging helps to increase the tiger population, and of course all the drama surrounding Najib's 1MDB claims. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We will have fresh updates for you next Monday. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Banish fraudulent manoeuvres, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, it's 5:26. You are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and it is the season of Popit Popit Parliament. So that is what we started off our show with. And there were, as is usual, I think, a whole bunch of different topics that were discussed. We heard once more about Najib and 1MDB and whether the points he raised were factually correct in the day one yesterday. They were not, FYI. We also discussed, or rather they discussed, the Russian invasion's impact on food security, whether logging does in fact help increase the tiger population, and also a discussion around JKM pay, because there was a question about whether or not the ministry had done sufficient consultation with the community. And basically, the Minister for Women, Family and Community Development said, yes, you know, they had consulted people who would be receiving these payments, and essentially it's a pioneer program. So we've been asking you for your thoughts on all of these subjects. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at PFM Radio. So we have this from TIDJ, who says, the only thing I have to say about Rina Harun is that she behaved like someone who wasn't able to give a satisfactory answer. And I think, I mean, there was a little bit of something to that. We also heard the Day One Rakyat speaker actually repeatedly telling Batu Kawan MP Kasturi Pato to not debate the point. But even without those interruptions, I do think that the minister perhaps came off a little bit defensively, you know, talking very much about the belief in the program. We also have this from Nini, who says, I'm a registered OKU and I wasn't aware of such privileges from JKM. Neither was I informed or anything like that. That's an interesting point, Nini, and I think something to look into, because I'm not actually certain how it is that information about things like JKM pay provided. I'm not sure what the channels of communication are, or where you could have gone to look for it, or how they could have contacted you. So that's definitely something that I think we can look into and maybe even do a whole show on. In the meantime, of course, keep those thoughts coming, whether it is about JKM pay, whether it's about Najib Razak, 1MDB and speeches in Parliament on that very subject by that very person. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.